This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking Greater Oahu. The lead stories are Microsoft is pushing the end of Windows 7. T-Mobile, check this out. They're going to be offering unlimited home internet. The Apple event that's coming on Monday, definitely not about hardware. Spy cams in hotel rooms. You're not going to believe this. I want to welcome you to episode 1354 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, March 21st. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all of the existing subscribers and listeners of the podcast. All of you that are classified as part of the Ohana. For those of you that are checking the show out for the very first time, I want you to take just a few minutes to get over to geeknewscentral.com. When you're on the website, it's real simple. Just get subscribed to the show. The links are right on the right-hand column. It says subscribe to podcasts. Pick your poison there, whether it be iOS, Android, email, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify. All the links there to get subscribed to the show are on the website at geeknewscentral.com. And while you're on the website, subscribe to the newsletter. That'll get you access to everything that I'm going to talk about in the show tonight. That way you'll get an email immediately following the show with all the links. It'll be exactly the same links that are on the website, but you'll have that in your inbox in perpetuity. Of course, you can always watch this show on your Apple TV. You can listen to the podcast on blueberry.com. You can also use your smart home device by using the keyword to kick that device off and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. That'll get it about 99% of the time. We're live tonight on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and of course, Mixer. And of course, don't forget, we are available at live.geeknewscentral.com. You can join our chat room as well. Our chat room is up and running, geeknews.chat. That's a great place to hang out and talk story with the rest of the family. Or if you want to join our Slack channel, you can do that by sending me an email. Of course, that email address is geeknews@gmail.com. You can contact me on Twitter as well, @geeknews. You can follow me on Facebook. And don't forget, on the website at geeknewscentral.com, all the partner show links are there, whether it be GNC Week in Review, The Gadget Professor, The Pro Gear Site, The New Media Show, Podcast Legends. All those links to all those shows are available at geeknewscentral.com. You can always, again, pick up cool Ohana gear, t-shirts, mugs, hats at cafepress.com/Ohana store. And of course, this show would not be possible without our good friends at GoDaddy. And you can get all the great deals that I have available for you at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All those promo codes are available on the website, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be a 99cent.com, dollar a month economy hosting. Again, dollar a month for the first year, which includes a free domain, or a dollar a month managed WordPress hosting, again for the first year, includes a free domain. So what you're really looking at there is $12, get you started. The domain name costs $8.49, so you deduct that from the $12, and really you're up and running for what, $3.51, if I did the math right? This is a deal that you cannot pass up. These two hosting deals are unlike anything else available. All right, you're not going to find hosting package cheaper than that. Now, when you get to that checkout counter, make sure you select the 12-month option. All right. They will sometimes try to get you to do a 3-year or 2-year, but all you got to do is obligate for 12 months to lock in this deal. It's a great way to get a website started. This is really easy, you know, and really, what do you have invested for a year? If it doesn't work, if the website doesn't end up being something you're going to use, then you don't renew it. But it's a great way to get started. So all my deals, again, are available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can get that 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder as well for you business owners out there. If you don't have the skills to build a website, this is the way to do it. Your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. Now, as a reminder, all my promo codes, keep this podcast online and keep my independent writing team employed. You are supporting a small team of independent content creators. This is it. Plus the external writers that do what we do here. Okay. I want to thank you for your support. Share those codes with your friends, family members, people that you know, at the water cooler, hearing someone talk about doing something cool, make them think about using one of my codes and picking up a service at GoDaddy.com. So we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here, of course, at Geek News Central, as we're fast approaching 14 years of continuous sponsorship of the show. Well, I have to tell you guys a little secret. Now, when you see the show, you see from here, let me see if I can move my hand here. Those of you who are watching, you guys get this like little window of the studio. And the rest of the studio can be thrashed and you'll never know, because this little like corridor of, you know, what you see in the video, but the office is clean. It was since like January, stuff has just been piling up corners. I've had boxes here. I had there. And finally I walked in here Tuesday night. I'm like, oh, I need to clean this place up, not only for my own sanity, but because I've got visitors coming tomorrow. The only thing I didn't get done is I didn't get all the dusting done because, you know, be frank, we're 20 days away or 60 days away from shutting the studio down and transporting it across the ocean, heading it towards Michigan. So this will probably be the last surface clean I'll do before we break it down. And I got to thinking about it. I said, I'm going to have to clean all this gear as it's being packed up. And that actually kind of leads into a discussion I'm going to talk about in a minute. But anyway, the office is clean. You don't care, but it actually, nothing went out of here dirty, but it actually, I think, smells better. Anyway, my wife was like, wow, how many trash bags did you take? I said, just one. And she said, where'd you hide everything else? And the trash can was already 3/4 full, so it wasn't that bad. But, you know, she's a big time, like, she's kind of a little bit of a hoarder on stuff. And when I get to the point where, like, little stuff I don't need anymore, I you know, she's like, well, let's donate it or put it in a garage sale. But it's all these, like, itsy bitsy items that really amount to nothing. And, yeah, so I have a pile of stuff that went to donation and, anyway, I'm not going to sell. It's just not worth the time. Let someone else get some more years of use out of some of those small pieces of stuff that I don't need anymore. And I'm sure there's going to be more of that going on as I get ready to load the container. Talk to my attorney. Talk to my accountant today. So the corporate taxes are done, gone. They were due 6 days ago. We've got them turned in 7 days ago. I actually had this stuff to her for a while. And then corporate taxes are done. So now it's personal tax time. And she's got all the information except for I owe her one little piece of information. But I asked her, I said, what are the damages? Because, you know, you never know year to year exactly where you're going to be. And I always end up having to write a check. And she sent me the totals. And I was like, oh, whew. I was just like, you know, it's still a big number, but it's like not as big a number as it has been in the past. I was like, wow, awesome. You know, you kind of breathe a little bit because you don't know if it's going to be 1,000 or 10,000 or 20,000. You don't know what the exact number is going to be. I was expecting between like a 3 and 8, and she come in on the low end of that. So I was like, yay. So, it's nice to know that, I'm not going to have to go out and, basically sell one of my kids to pay my tax bill, but that's where we're at. And, I guess we're about done. I did do some calling around, you know, on this journey here of getting ready to move. I called some, cause I was kind of like, I don't want to pack this thing out, but the more I call and the more I talk to people that do packing, the lady's, oh yeah, we'll send three people over 8 hours, $209 an hour. and plus packing materials. I'm like, three people, $209 an hour for labor, and I'm going to pay for packing materials on top. Okay. Called the next place. Oh yeah, we can send two people over, $180 an hour. And I'm like, what? Are these people, what kind of business? 109, and I'm sure there's insurance and liability and workman's comp, and I understand, but $90 an hour for someone, that is a way big markup. So I'm going to continue to do some asking around. I've got a lead on a couple of people that do it on the side. And if worse comes to worse, I'll pack this thing out for $1,600. No way, no way, no way, no way, no way, no way, no way. You know, under a thousand, okay, go for it. But it's just like a room and a half, maybe two rooms max. No, sorry. It's crazy money to do packouts here. So I will, I'll keep you informed on how the hunt goes to find someone. I do want to do one thing though. I want to have a little contest, and it can't be a big contest because, you know, I'm budgeting for the move and for the new studio. But I want you guys to think about a new studio design. And what I've really got to work with my canvas is just imagine, I'll get the dimensions for you. But we're going to have a one room that is basically the length of the building. And I'll say that's like 20 by 30. Let's just, you know, that's kind of the idea, 20 wide by 30 deep. And it might be a little deeper than that. And then on the other side, there's about 15 feet and the same length down the hall, maybe not 15, maybe 12, but it's subdivided. And what they used to have in this building were, a dentist was in there. So we had little exam rooms that really didn't, they had short walls. They didn't have full size walls that went all the way to the ceiling. And they had some sort of a curtain in between. The curtains are gone, but there's three of those little, maybe by like 10 by 12 rooms. There's not, and it's, there's a hallway too right there. So there's not a lot of room. You might have an eight, you know, usable area, 8 by 12. So there's really a potential here for, you know, have some office space and then three or four sets. And I want you guys to think about that. I don't want to tear the building up too much, but I'll see if I can get a little stick drawing written out so that you guys can kind of see. And I want you guys to think about what we're going to do with the new studio. It's not for just for Geek News Central. It's for the new media show and doing, developing new shows in this space. So I have a little contest. We've got to call it something too. We're going to have to come up with a name for the new studio. And so I'll let you guys think about that a little bit and start percolating that through your head. In about a month from now, I will announce an official announcement for the game or for the contest, and then we'll let everybody submit their ideas, and then we'll have two or three levels here of winners, and probably offer up some cash. And I would assume that's going to be the easiest thing to do. Maybe even some prizes. I don't know. We'll see what we can come up with. But I want to have a little new studio contest. Think about what we're going to do. And I don't want to break the bank in redesigning this space that I'm going to be in. We're going to build it out little by little, but at least we can do a couple of sets initially and let you guys think about it. I got enough cameras and stuff from over the years to probably do two full lockdown studios, but I definitely want to have something that will move. So anyway, just think about that. And these are going to be video, definitely video studios. And, you know, green screen, whatever, a backdrop, you know, this whole thing is changing here. For those of you watching, it's all going to change. So, you know, we've got a blank canvas. Everything in this room is actually going. So even these old black cabinets I've got back here that I've had for, Oh my gosh, I've had these since, well, Natalie's 27, so I've had these 28 years. If they don't get busted on the way, they're going to go into the building, and who knows what they're going to be used for. But everything in here, which you guys, you know, you've seen some pictures online, is it will go. So just think about that, all right? Okay, totally different thought process here. I was on Facebook earlier today, saw something, and it actually triggered me from a luncheon I'd had recently. And basically, I went to lunch and was with some people, and there's four or five of us sitting at a table, and the waitress came around and dropped our glasses of water off, and they had straws in them. And one of the individuals in the at lunch got really pissy, and he grabbed all the straws up and kind of made a scene and made the waitress take the straws back, and got in my food space. And this is the second time this has happened over plastic straws. And I understand some people are militant about straws, and I know this has nothing to do with tech, but this is my time to talk to you guys like I normally do. And I just like gave the individual a look. I didn't, if it had been someone I knew a little better, I probably would have had something stronger to say, but I just gave them the look. People are militant about weirdest things. And I understand the damages straws do to marine wildlife. I'm not going to downplay that. But I've also traveled throughout the world extensively. And I've driven along Manila Bay. I have seen trash in the Middle East that is unbelievable. Witnessed open defecation. Witnessed just about everything that you can imagine that is goes against any type of, you know, it's unbelievable. And yet, here in the United States, what have we been doing for many years? How can you guys remember how long it's been since in my neighborhood? Where, at least I've been here in Hawaii for 21 years. I've always had a recycle bin, always. Before that, I lived in Maryland for 3 years. We had a recycle bin. Before that, I lived in Guam and we had recycle bins. So at least for 25, 26, 27 years, we've had recycle bins where we recycled plastic, glass, all that stuff. And most places that I've been at, including Hawaii, burns most of their trash or has a landfill. So we do have landfills here. The United States, in my opinion, and someone maybe they can tell me differently here, we don't dump straws in the ocean. But I know at one time they dumped trash in the ocean. I understand that. But have you ever been to some of the other countries and seen the level of filth and pollution and garbage and you name it? We don't have a problem. We are good stewards as compared to the rest of the world in almost all instances. We're not the perfect, but when someone gets pissy about a straw that's going to go into a trash bag that is going to end up in a landfill. Yeah, of course, there's plastic doesn't degrade over the time, but the landfill's being filled up and there's nothing that's going to change that. Yet, what else do they do that helps the environment besides the stupid straw? I don't mind paper straws. I don't mind sucking my drink through something that tastes like wax paper. It's okay. You know, no problem. But if you're out and about and you are militant about straws and you're with me, don't touch my food or my water. You know, I mean, we might have words. But anyway, I couldn't believe it. I was just like, I just, my mouth was aghast. So anyway, I know some of you are like, oh my God, you want plastic straws. I'm going to make sure I buy a lifetime of plastic straws before they ban them. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. All right. So enough on that. Have you guys noticed? I got a little hum. You guys hearing it in the show at all? Is the filters working it out? I don't know. I got something sideways in here. And it needs to be fixed. But I don't have time. If it doesn't get any worse, we're just going to live with it till we tear this thing apart. All right, I've talked too long. Anyway, thanks for being here and let me indulge. And this is what the show's about, right? Indulging? All right, so let's talk about the tech while you're all here. And let me make sure everything is running. Yes, everything's running good. Fantastic. Nothing has failed tonight. So the news on the street, we've been talking about this a little bit, but Microsoft has started notifying Windows 7 users about end of support. You know, if those of you that have been around long enough, we can remember the Windows 98 end of life, Windows NT end of life. You know, those should bring back Windows XP end of life. We should, we think about operating systems. And Windows 7, for me, was and is still today probably one of the most incredible Windows versions that was ever released. It really, truly was. You think of it, we've had Windows 7 now for 10 years. 10 years we've had Windows 7. Windows 10 is obviously a king now. Every machine that I've got that has Windows on is running Windows 10. But Windows 7, every once in a while I'll see a Windows 7 machine. And but anyway, they're pushing hard, saying January 14, 2020 is the last day that Microsoft will offer security updates and technical support from computers running Windows 7. How many of you are in the boat of saying, it's kind of like the NRA folks, you can take my gun away from me out of my, pry it out of my dead hands, that type of a statement. How many of you are Windows 7 zealots and will say, I will run Windows 7 until the end of time? I know there's a few of you out there. That's okay. It's cool. I was that way. I was that way with a few operating Windows NT. Windows NT, I ran Windows NT so long, it just worked on some servers that I was. It ran my bulletin board for years and years and years and years, and it was so solid. It never crashed. And I think some of you probably feel the same way about Windows 7. But I'll be honest with you, Windows 10 is pretty good. but Windows 7, end of support. So just remember that. The clock's ticking. Something I think is going to be a game changer in the space. At least I hope it's going to be. And if we think about this a little bit, we talk smack, and I have talked smack for years on this show about Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, and Sprint, and how they all have these unlimited, limited services, right? And they're all still running unlimited, limited services. Well, when I hear that T-Mobile is starting to pilot a wireless home internet service offering quote unquote unlimited LTE data to the home for $50 per month, I'm like, huh? Really? Are you serious? Is it truly unlimited, or is there a star? Is there an asterisk besides the unlimited? Or is there something in the fine print that's going to say, after so many gigabits, you're throttled? So T-Mobile says it plans to reach just 50,000 homes by the end of the year, primarily in rural markets with limited internet options. T-Mobile, please, 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 49082. 49082 is the area code that I want this at. Please, 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 I beg of you. T-Mobile, 49082 is the area code for this. Please, please sign me up for this trial Now, the pilot service is meant to test T-Mobile's ability to deliver a high-speed home internet connection ahead of its 5G rollout. T-Mobile plans to launch this wireless home internet that relies on 5G, offering much faster service. For now, T-Mobile is only promising speeds up to 50 megs over LTE. Compared to what 49082 has right now. Again, T-Mobile, 49082 is the zip code. Whereas the 5G service is supposed to deliver over 100 megs. And for many folks in rural America that do not have a good broadband connection, this is exciting. Now, the real story here is T-Mobile's pending merger with Sprint. T-Mobile said earlier this month that it would deploy 5G home internet service if its merger was approved, and it's launching this pilot. So there's a little bit of gamesmanship going on here. At least prove that this will happen. The unstated threat is that if the Sprint merger doesn't clear, T-Mobile will not launch a 5G home internet service at all, depriving the market of much needed competition in the home internet space. For those of you that are on 1 gig, 500 megs, 200 megs, with a wired connection to your home, this is probably not something that you get excited about. We've had wireless home internet before, but those plans have largely went away through mergers and acquisitions, and they could never get to the speeds needed to satisfy people. But if you are in a rural area, and this is, I know I'm already like asking questions, how much to get the fiber? See, it's a mile and a half. I know where the high-speed connection is. It's a mile and a half to get fiber. And, you know, I'd almost dig the trench myself. A mile and a half isn't too bad of digging, as long as I have to bury it too deep. But they're going to want it deep. So how much is it going to cost me to get fiber a mile and a half? Probably more than I can afford, but I'm going to be asking the question because where I'm going to be putting my head to sleep at night, the internet is not fast. And that's why the studio will be where I can get high speed. But when I hear this type of stuff about T-Mobile offering, you see, for me, if the studio is 12 miles away and I can have 50 megs for Netflix, uploading videos, that kind of stuff. Perfect. So I'm hoping that this is a start where we can have rural broadband service by the mobile carriers and actually come up with truly unlimited. Will it happen? I don't know. Michael, I don't know what who makes your IEM molds? What is an IEM mold? I don't know who, I don't even know what that is. What's an IEM mold? Don't know. Okay, so anyways, exciting stuff with T-Mobile there, yeah? It could really be a game changer. All right, so Monday, what do we expect from Apple's streaming video event? Well, they've been announcing hardware all week. We'll talk about that later. But can Apple really take on Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon? Well, they got the cash to do it. So Apple is expected to give us a glimpse at its long-awaited video service. I think they're going to give us more than a glimpse because they've announced all the hardware this week. And I think it's going to be big. At this point, we know for certain Apple is laser focused on producing original shows. And the company spent over $1 billion in 2018 on content. But it does still far, far less than $8 billion that Netflix has spent. So, we talked a little bit about this on the last show. But the Apple TV is definitely going to be front and center on this. But one thing is for sure is Apple does one thing really well. it sells other people's TV services very good. So I don't think Apple, and I agree with Ari Code on this, I don't think Apple's going to be taking on Netflix yet. And I think if they're going to be helping other people sell streaming video subscriptions and taking care of the transaction, Apple may also sell its own shows, which we would expect, at least as part of a bundle of other services. But for now, it's being expected that Apple's original shows and movies should be considered expensive gateways, not the core product. Now, that is much less exciting than Apple takes on Netflix in the streaming wars, but I think it's going to be an accurate description here, because a lot of people didn't want to play with Apple. So Apple has to kind of go it alone a little bit by tying in some people. And we'll see who it is. You know, Amazon's been successful with this. Facebook is bullish on TV. YouTube is bullish on TV. You know, I'm paying for YouTube TV right now. Matter of fact, my son is getting nervous. He says, "Dad, you need to buy HBO. Game of Thrones is starting." So I'll probably, you know, buy the HBO package for, you know, until we get through Game of Thrones. So we'll see here. And time will tell. Now, Apple's been working with Goldman Sachs on a joint credit card as well. You notice all these companies are getting into banking? Because there's a lot of money in banking, because people don't pay off their credit cards like I do. You know, they accrue interest. And guess what happens when they accrue interest? It's like free money, especially if you got the type of cash laying around that Apple does. So we'll see what happens here. They can earn a much higher percentage of return by, you know, charging you 13, 14, 15, 16, 20% on your credit card than it can in, you know, investing it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. But lots of partners, lots of wholesale retail relationships. And of course, Netflix has already said, we're not part of the story here. But knowing Apple, they're going to have something to surprise us all. So we'll keep an eye out. Now, I love gadgets just as much as you do. And I actually saw my first or second good Facebook ad. And what it was a device that you could use. You could walk into a hotel room and you hold up to your face and you look around the room in it, and it will detect the LED of a camera lens. You know, a lot of these cameras are being hidden now in clocks, in just about anywhere. They're hiding little LED cameras. And you know, if you look around, you may not see it. It could be behind a screen, a variety of places. But this little device allows you to look around the room and look for the LED light. You can see it very easily to see if someone is secretly recording you. And I thought, whoa, that's, ladies, that's probably something that you'll want to look into. But it's not only the ladies that are affected. Listen to this. Two people have been arrested in South Korea over secretly filming 1,600 hotel guests with spy cams. South Korean authorities are investigating two more over a spy cam website that live streamed 1,600 hotel guests without their knowledge. The men installed small 1mm lens cameras into items ranging from hair dryer holders, wall sockets, and then streamed the footage online when people could pay a monthly fee to watch. The rest are part of South Korea's epidemic of what's known as mulka, which is the secret filming of women in public places such as toilets and changing rooms, but sometimes even in their own homes. Last summer, tens of thousands of women took to the streets of Seoul over the epidemic, which saw 6,470 cases reported in 2017 alone, up from 1,353 cases in 2012. And what started the protest was because a male had been photographed secretly when he was modeling nude for college students. The lady was arrested, whereas no man had ever been charged. Of the 5,400 people arrested for spy camera offenses in 2017, only 2% faced jail time. Officials from South Korea's National Police Agency told AFP that half of the 1,600 victims in this latest spy cam scandal are men. In all, cameras are thought to have been installed in 42 rooms across 30 hotels and 10 cities between November of last year and this month. The suspects streamed 803 videos of people without their consent to a website with 4,000 members. Those members could either watch 30-second clips for free or otherwise pay a $44.95 fee to access additional features like being able to rewatch clips. 97 are said to have subscribed to this paid service. Police said the hotels are not thought to have been complicit in the activity. Now here's the sad part. In total, the suspects earn the equivalent of $6,200 from the subscriptions. If convicted, they could be forced to pay as much as 30 million won, about $26,000, and face jail time of up to 5 years. Okay, so if this is a big deal in South Korea, how much of this is going on in the rest of the world where this really hasn't been talked about too much? I know, being a techie, when I walk into hotel rooms, I kind of do an eyeball. I look around and I stay in enough Hilton properties and so forth that I pretty much know their default electronic packages and Marriott's as well. But I never thought that they would be putting stuff in, embedding them. And if you think about it, it's pretty invasive. So I don't have the link to the ad I saw on Facebook about these little hand monitors that look for cameras, but I think we're at a point where these, you know, get ready to go to a changing room, or you're going to go, where you're going to be exposed and not have control over the area. These devices, to do our own recce to make sure these rooms are not essentially bugged, are probably going to have to become more commonplace, because it's just disgusting. There are a lot of effing weirdos out there in a big way, you know. It's the ultimate peeping Tom. You know, they don't peep through the windows no more. They peep through digital cameras. 666666 out there. But I'm surprised they only had that many people actually subscribe to the service. So it wasn't like they were making a lot of money over it, considering the cost to actually deploy it probably was more than that. And somehow they had to keep it hooked to the internet. I don't know how they did that. So that's curious in itself, right? All right, moving on here to a more positive message. The U.S. Postal Service has revealed the stamp for the moon landing's 50th anniversary. And I want some of these. These are cool. And they debuted yesterday. So make sure you get to the post office and pick these up. But they're really, really slick. And they're forever stamps. But I want to, you know, 3 or 4 sheets of them for sure. How many of you collect a lot of stamps? I used to collect a lot. Matter of fact, I've got a pretty good collection someplace along with a penny and quarter, and I've got some coins. You know, that's one of those things where you're like, you scratch the back of your head, like, where the heck is it? One thing I can't find right now is I had some Amazon gift cards here. Can't find those. And I can't find the title to my CX-9. There's some place around here. I'll find them. But it's one of those things when you misplace something, you're like, where did that go? It makes you go, there's only so many places it could. But I know the shredder isn't one, because I'm pretty prolific about making sure I check stuff before I run it through the shredder. It's in some envelope here. But it sucks when you can't find stuff that you know is around. But yeah, I have to find my stamp collection. I guess maybe I'll find it during the pack out here. or maybe the unpacking. That's where you find it mostly. All right. After a prolonged quiet period, the sun let off an explosion yesterday when a new sunspot fired a small solar flare lasting over an hour. The high energy blast caused disruption for some radio operators in Europe and Africa, but it was accompanied by a slower moving massive cloud of charged particles known as a coronal mass ejection, CME, and will deliver Earth a glancing blow this weekend. So keep an eye. Those of you that live in the basically upper half of the United States, specifically Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, you're going to have a good chance of potentially seeing the aurora over the weekend. And definitely those of you in the UP and upper Wisconsin are probably going to have the best chance to see this. So keep an eye out this weekend, all right? The best tune-up utilities for 2019. This is funny because I am in the process of doing a review for IOLO System Mechanic. And it's actually one of the software packages that were reviewed by the folks at PC Mag. You'll have my review up probably sometime next week, but I don't know if it's biased or not, but they gave the application 4.5, and not stars, but circles. So I'll let you know what I think of IOLO. There's probably another way to pronounce that, System Mechanic, and I'll let you know how it works on my Windows 10 machine here. So, but anyway, I have the PC Mag review up in the show notes for you, all right? All right, the MPAA says streaming video has now surpassed cable subscriptions worldwide, but cable TV still rakes in more money. So, so in 2018, 96.8 billion or 9% over 2017. So let me read this again. The world's entertainment markets encompassed both theatrical and home releases grew to a new high end of 96.8. In particular, the highlighted rapid growth of streaming video, which grew to 613 million subscriptions worldwide, increased at 27% over 2017. And let me look here. The international theater box office grew to 41.1 billion. Spending in US and Canada grew to 11.9. while home entertainment hit 55.7 billion internationally. So it's on the grow. And probably largely driven by Netflix and, you know, renting movies online. Because people are still rather stay home. My son yesterday, he's actually leaving tomorrow morning to go to his national media protection contest. He'll be there all next week in Seattle. So we hadn't seen Captain Marvel yet, and he wanted to go see Captain Marvel. So we went to the, I guess, 6:45 of Captain Marvel. And boy, I tell you, the new Captain Marvel, she should kick the butt out of Superman. they gave her some incredible powers in this movie. And if you haven't been to see it, I won't spoil it for you, but you definitely want to stay after the movie's over. You want to stay for a short 45 second clip. That was worth watching the whole movie to see the 45 second clip at the end. That is the, a little teaser for, End Times. And, so, you know, I'm going to be on travel. I'm actually going to be in Columbus on April. Let's see. I'm looking at the calendar. April 26th, when that movie is released. And based on my travel schedule and everything, I don't think I'm going to be able to see it until I get back. So please, 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 I'm going to have to stay away from the spoilers. But my son is like, I want to get tickets all ready for it. And I'm like, well, talk to your mom because I'm not going to be here. But I will want to watch that in the theater. And hopefully we don't have a bunch of crying kids in this one. An Illinois appeal court says the Fifth Amendment protections apply to cell phone passwords. This is big. This is big, 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 big. The key to determining Fifth Amendment protections against compelled production of passwords appears to be a court's definition of the term foregone conclusion. In many cases, courts have decided the government only has to have a clear, a very low bar to meet this demand. In those cases, the only foregone conclusion the government needs to prove is that the person is being compelled to provide a password knows the password. Once the government has linked the person to the locked device, it can get on with compelling. Now, so if the court decides to raise the bar, which we think this ruling implies, it gets far more difficult for the government. In few cases, the government has been asked to show it knows the evidence it seeks can be found in the locked device. Even if it meets this requirement, it can't just start throwing the court orders at criminal suspects. This foregone conclusion directly implicates the Fifth Amendment. The government is no longer simply asking someone to unlock a device. They're actually asking someone to provide them with evidence that could be used against them. Now, this is the key. The government is no longer asking someone to unlock a device. It's asking them to directly provide them with evidence that could be used against them. So when you plead the fifth says, I shall, it basically gives you the right to shut your mouth and not say anything that may incriminate you. It has its own connotations. Because you've decided you're not going to say anything. They can't compel you to basically spill your guts on yourself. And you go into a bank and you rob a bank. And through, you know, 2 years later, they catch you and say, hey, you robbed the bank. You say, no, not me. And they can't compel you to say, yep, it was. You don't have to say anything. You have when they read you your rights, they say you have the right to remain silent. Now, I'm just going to be honest here. Each and every one of us, if we're ever arrested, that's probably pretty good advice. The Fifth Amendment was put in place to protect ourselves from basically implicating ourselves and saying stuff that will cost us to go to jail. So if typing in your password opens up your phone and gives them access to information that implicates you, this has always been a problem, right? This has been going around the courts for a while. So this court ruling is good for us, good for everybody. And we'll see where this ends up. You can always still say no. Yeah, I forgot. But that's usually not a defense. So interesting what's going on in space here. What do you think? You know, of course we want bad people to be put behind bars. But also at the same instance, we have the Bill of Rights and, you know, you've got the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution that is basically says you don't have to incriminate yourself. And if they're going to extend that to our mobile devices, it's an interesting move. Now, they can still seize your phone, but if it's scrambled and encrypted like Apple's made it, they may not get too much off it. Moving on here. eBay is adding support for Google Pay. Well, that's good. It's a payment option. And the announcement post Citi's, what? Oh, it basically allows millennials and Generation Z shoppers who increasingly make purchases from their phones and digital wallets a reason to use their new edition. eBay has shifted away from its reliance on PayPal since the company split apart in 2015 and is focusing on offering customers more choices in their payment options. I do like that. Because every once in a while, I still get something on eBay. You know what I got on eBay the other day? A favorite pair of Nike sneakers that I have. I've wore them and wore them and wore them. And they're not that old. and they're the fly knit type. I broke through the eyelet, and I was like, crap. And so definitely going to try to take them and get them repaired. But I went online and I found a pair of these that were brand new, never wore, still in the box, at a steal deal. And I ordered them, and I got a steal deal on a pair of basically the same tennis shoes, same color scheme, and pretty jazzed about that. Meanwhile, I'll take these shoes to some repair place and try to get the eyelet fixed, so at least I can, you know, wear these until they wear out. But I'll have another pair of another pair to slip into once I abuse these some more. You know, every once in a while you fall in love with some shoes. You know, I'm probably a little bit, I like shoes. all right. Facebook stored hundreds of millions of users' passwords in plain text for years. And that should just make us all go, huh? So hundreds of millions of Facebook users had their accounts' passwords stored and searchable by thousands of Facebook employees, in some cases going back to 2012. Krebs on Security has learned, Facebook said an ongoing investigation has so far found no indication that employees abuse access to this data. Yeah, right. Right. Facebook is probing a series of security failures in which employees built applications that log unencrypted passwords data for Facebook users and stored it in plain text on internal company servers. The Facebook source said the investigation so far indicates that between 200 million and 600 million Facebook users may have had their account passwords stored in plain text. Really? Really? How did that happen? How did that happen? It makes you go, doesn't it? All right, Ford is investing $850 million to build electric vehicles in Michigan. To boost its electric vehicle production, they're going to go into its Flat Rock, Michigan assembly plant. I don't have no idea where that's at. Maybe, I guess, is Flat Rock a town in Michigan? I don't even know my own state. But to do so, the company will also hire 900 employees incrementally through 2023. The investment is part of Ford's $11.1 billion commitment to electric vehicles, includes funding to build Ford's next generation Mustang in Michigan. All right, so here's the question. I'm asking guys a lot of questions. I'm not buying a new car. I'm going to buy a used car. Probably 2016. That's the year model I'm shooting for, because that's where a lot of lease vehicles are being turned in and resold at this time. So what should I buy? And I'm thinking SUV. I'm thinking not a full size, like a midsize SUV, something smaller than a CX-9, but something I can put gear in. So I'm a crossover. I want something with some good gas mileage. I was looking at Ford, but you guys have a bunch of vehicles out there. What do you love right now? What vehicle are you absolutely in love with? And a 16 model is what I'm looking for, what I'm thinking. And again, I'm leaning Ford, and I'd love to have an Explorer, but they don't get great gas mileage. They really, really don't. Like horrible gas mileage. I'd like to have something at least 20 and above. And if it's a crossover, it gets a little more. Let me know. What do you guys think? What should I buy? I'm doing like CarMax shopping now. I'm shocked. Here in Hawaii, we pay a premium for vehicles. I'm just like, that's it. And again, it's all relative, but I'm just like, wow. I was really kind of surprised, to be honest with you here, okay? Okay, so moving on. The Nebraska flooding scene from space. Boy, oh boy, lots of water. If you live within those flood zones, I'm really feeling for you. I know there's a lot of that going on right now, but the satellite pictures are pretty impressive from that. This will make you all laugh just a little bit. The AT&T boss got a robocall during a live interview. And his Apple Watch rang. And he looked at it and hit the, you know, basically go away button. And he basically said, yep, I just got robocalled. How he knows he got robocalled beats me, because you're doing business. The other day, or last week, I counted them, 82 robocalls. And about every 5 minutes, my phone was going. And basically, I denied every one of them. Then not a single voicemail. And a couple I thought were right. I did the old answer, and I heard a click, click, you hear a click, click, where it clicks over from the robot to the person. I immediately hung up on them. It's driving me insane. This has got to be dealt with. Millions of Americans still can't get broadband. And we talked about this earlier in the show, but there's a good interview between one of the FCC chairmen and the folks over at CNET. And it kind of leads into the same thing I was talking about with T-Mobile. And I don't, you know, that the incumbents, the cable folks, aren't going to fix it. It's up to the wireless folks to fix rural broadband. It's being said that the Tokyo 2020 robots are to be featured at the Olympic and Paralympic Games. The 2020 robot project will assist wheelchair users at the Olympic Stadium with robots carrying food, drinks, and providing event information. Power-assisted suits will also be used at the venues and athletes' villages. The suits are designed to ease human workload and will be used to move heavy objects and for waste disposal. This project will not simply be about exhibiting robots, but showcasing their practical real-life deployment, helping people. Hiroshi Hirakura said, the leader of the project said. So we'll see how this has. But robots have been used in the Paralympic and Olympic events before, but in a limited capacity. In Rio 2016, special robotic cameras captured still images above athletes in the badminton competition while a robot was on display at the Paralympic opening ceremony. So stepping it up a little bit. The International Space Station scientists tested a new antibacterial coating on the bathroom door. In space, bacteria is basically given a leg up. It can evolve, become resistant to antibiotics. It can mutate. Lots of weird things happen in space, even though space is very, very cruel. It makes bacteria stronger. So they came up with something called AGXX, and basically this agent, they integrate silver and I don't even know how to pronounce it, ruthenium. The silver and ruthenium are conditioned as a vitamin derivative. So they kill all bacteria as well as some fungi used in viruses. This was used on the bathroom wall, and it had astounding success. And NASA is really, really jazzed about this this treatment, and they feel it could be a game changer for not only keeping the bacteria down in the International Space Station, but protecting our astronauts that are up there from infection and so forth. So, exciting stuff there for sure. Now, this is a little difficult topic, but it's something that we have to face at this point. Shoplifting is a big issue. It doesn't matter what age you are. People are shoplifting sometimes for the thrill. Sometimes it's a compulsive behavior. Sometimes they're shoplifting because there's a financial need to fuel a drug habit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You never know. Or someone just doesn't have the money and wants something so bad, they steal it. Now, there are hundreds of stores using facial recognition now, and none of them have rules or standards to prevent abuse. But what's happening is, is that oftentimes one store chain may have multiple store chains. And what they're starting to do is if someone is caught shoplifting and they have facial recognition data on that individual from that store, they're going to actually start banning people from their chain and from sister stores and sharing stuff in the industry. So someone could potentially be banned from shopping in actual physical stores in the future because they got caught shoplifting once. So the ACLU is saying we really need to rein in this technology. There's a risk that we may, that what we enjoy every day, the ability to walk around anonymous without fearing that you're being tracked and identified, could be a thing of the past. And again, it goes to relate to some of the stuff that's happening within stores and basically banning people. And you don't blame the stores, you know, for banning someone that's been shoplifting in them. But we know facial recognition is being used a lot more everywhere. But imagine walking into a store and they say, sir, sorry, you're blacklisted from here. You're going to have to leave. And it turns out it's because of a shoplifting at a store you did 5 years ago, and you're now on some blacklist. So makes you go, just a little bit, doesn't it? A little bit of how-to here. If you want to save some money on airline bags, lots of ways to do it. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check that out. Also, we're running just a little bit behind. Actually, no, we're doing good for time. The new iMac has been updated with the latest processors and optional Vega graphics. So what has been changed here? Well, the 2019 iMac update was a spec refresh only. There's no design changes. The 21.5 and 27-inch 4K and 5K iMacs continue to use the same ultra-thin slim body design. There's also no updates to display, which was refreshed in 2017. But Apple said that the best Mac display offering 500 nits brightness and 10-bit dithering, it's still in place, but the Apple 21.5-inch iMac has been updated with Intel's 8th generation chip with up to six cores at the high end, while the highest end 27-inch iMacs feature Intel's 9th generation chip with 8 cores. They say that the 21.5-inch iMac is up to 60% faster than the previous generation model, and the 27-inch iMac is up to 2.4 times faster. And for the first time, Apple's introduced the Radeon Pro Vega graphics in both 4K and 5K iMac models. In the 4K Max, the Radeon Pro Vega graphics offer 80% faster graphics performance, while in the 27-inch model, the upgraded option provides 50% faster graphics performance. And of course, you're going to be probably paying a little bit more for that, because the base price starts at $1,299 and $1,799, and you want to add the Radeon Pro Vega graphics. Ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that update. As well, the iPad mini was updated. And they're basically saying there's no competition to this device in its size and class. You know, the iPad 4 mini came out in 2015. And it really hasn't even mentioned since. So this is a big update. So the new iPad mini starts at $399, and it's of course got a faster processor in it, and all the same specs as a larger iPad Air, solid performance, headphone jack. It doesn't have an exterior design update. It still only uses the first gen Apple Pencil. And it's got a lightning port instead of a USB-C. And, but everyone says it's a killer small tablet. So, if you're in the market for a smaller tablet, this would probably be the one to pick up. All right. Final article tonight. Amazon is going to launch mobile apps on their website. So you're searching for something for Amazon, you're going to get a mobile ad. I'm shopping at Amazon. Isn't that good enough? Why do you need to shove ads at me, Amazon? Please. Oh. Apparently they're tired of Facebook and everyone else getting all the money. But they've been beta testing ads on Apple Inc.'s iOS platform for several months. A similar product for Google's Android platform is planned for later this year. Oh, man. Come on. Amazon has emerged as a fast-growing challenger in the digital advertising market since it captures 50% of all online sales. Isn't that enough? No, it's not. So now we're going to get ads while we're shopping. Enough said. All right, folks, going to wrap the show up here. Let me see if we've gotten any email. I don't think anything came in. Yep, no one loves me here, but I've given you a lot to think about on this show. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. It's been my pleasure to bring you the podcast tonight. I'll be back with you on Monday with another edition. So here's the schedule for what's going to go down. I am going to be doing the show for the next 2 weeks. I don't leave for Las Vegas until April 5th in the evening. And then I will be in Vegas from the 5th until April 5th to the 14th. I'm home only a week. And then I'll be doing the show from the studio in Columbus. So I'll do the show on April 15th and 19th, and then I'll be doing the show in Columbus on the 22nd and 26th. Kurt will probably have to do the show the following week, because I'm going to be, probably unable to do so. So Kurt's going to step in for me during the NAB show week, but I might, offer up the show to maybe Don or someone to do a episode or two as well. But, anyway, so April's going to be kind of a weirdo month, and then the craziness really begins in May. But I'll be back doing 2 full weeks of shows in May, and obviously the 16th of May is going to be the last live broadcast show out of Hawaii, and I'll switch to audio only. Those are going to be exciting because we're going to be talking about the move and everything that goes along with that in that process, and there may be some downtime where I may actually take some vacation as I'm rebuilding stuff in June and on travel too. So we'll just keep plugging away here. And this is a big transition year, as we've been talking about. But I want to thank you all for continuing to hold the line here and being insiders. The insiders are contributing monthly. I really, really appreciate it. And if you're not an insider, this would be a great time to. As I'm going to be essentially throwing $100 bills at stuff to make this transition. So any support of the show between now and really the departure time is greatly, greatly appreciated. Again, it's been my pleasure to bring you the show tonight. And please continue to support the sponsor, GoDaddy, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And thank you for being part of the Ohana and hanging out here. Anyway, I'll be back with you on Monday. Everyone take care. We'll see you. Aloha.